Monday, January 19th, 2026. If you are in Mumbai, or frankly, if you've been anywhere near social media in India for the last day, you know the vibe.
Oh, yeah.
The adrenaline has started to wear off. The soreness is definitely setting in. Yesterday was the Tata Mumbai Marathon. The streets were packed. The energy was frantic. And for thousands of people, this was it, the culmination of months of waking up in the dark.
Right. It's the Super Bowl of Indian running, the single biggest participative sport event in the country.
It really is. And usually the day after, the conversation is all about the headlines, you know, who won, what was the course record, which celebrity was spotted.
Sure.
But today we're doing something different. We're not looking at the people who broke the tape. We're looking at the people whose job was to help you break
We're
yours.
talking about the Pacers.
The bus drivers, as they're called, the folks holding those tall flags that say 4 hours or 5 hours. And to frame this, I want to pose a scenario.
Okay.
Let's just step away from running for a second. Imagine you hire a Sherpa to guide you up Mount Everest.
Okay, high stakes.
Very high stakes, huge price tag. You train for a year. And the deal is simple. I will get you to the summit safely by noon.
Right.
But then on the big day, the Sherpa just sprints ahead because he feels good, leaving you alone. Or maybe he shows up 2 hours late. How are you feeling?
Betrayed. I'm feeling like I wasted my money, and frankly, I'm probably in physical danger.
Well, based on the data we have in front of us, that's essentially what played out on the streets of Mumbai yesterday. We're diving into a fresh, and I mean blistering, analysis from Dr. Purnendu Nath, known as the Guru Puru. He's a health and finance expert who treats this race data like a corporate balance sheet.
He issues what he calls his annual health check on the race's organization. He just looks past all the PR and right to the spreadsheets.
And spoiler alert, the patient is not doing well.
No, the diagnosis, to quote him directly, is ouch, ouch.
But what I find so compelling about this deep dive isn't just the runner gossip. It's that Dr. Nath puts on his economist hat. He argues that what we saw yesterday isn't just bad athletics, it's a textbook case of market failure. It's what happens when a monopoly stops caring about its product because it knows the customers have nowhere else to go.
It really deconstructs this idea of the free lunch. We tend to think that if a service is provided as a hook, we should just be grateful. But this report argues that bad service is actually costlier than no service at all.
So let's get into it, the forensic evidence. Before we get to the economics, we just need to understand the magnitude of the mess. How bad was the pacing yesterday?
It was statistically abysmal. Let's look at the full marathon first. The 42-kilometer beast. The organizers assigned 12 official pacers.
12 professionals, handpicked. How many actually hit their targets?
Six.
That's a coin toss.
Exactly 50%. Half of the designated guides failed to bring their bus, the group of trusting runners right behind them, to the finish line in the right window.
Now, when we say failed, I just want to be clear. Are we nitpicking here? Did they miss by like 10 seconds? Because after 42 kilometers, a few seconds feels forgivable.
We are not talking about seconds. The report highlights the case of a pacer named Aniruddha Anant Athani. He was assigned the 4.0-hour bus. Now, you have to understand, for an amateur, the sub-4 is the holy grail. It separates the casual jogger from the serious runner.
It's a huge psychological barrier. People literally structure their lives around breaking that 4 hour mark.
Exactly. So imagine you're running behind Aniruddha, you're trusting his flag, you're checking his pace. He finished the race in 6 hours, 8 minutes and 19 seconds.
Wait, pause. He was the 4 hour pacer and he finished in 6 hours.
A gap of 2 hours and 8 minutes.
That is, I'm struggling for a word. That's catastrophic. That's not a bus, that's a shipwreck.
It effectively leaves the runners stranded. If you were pacing off him, your entire race strategy is just obliterated. And he wasn't the only one. The report notes Dr. Erica Patel, leading the 4.30 bus, registered a DNF. Didn't even finish.
Now, obviously, we don't know the personal details. People are human, people get cramped. But from an organizational standpoint, these are the designated reliable metrics. If the thermometer in your oven breaks half the time, you can't bake a cake.
That is the perfect analogy.
Blah.
Reliability is the product. And the failure wasn't just about being too slow or dropping out. We also saw the opposite, which is, in some ways, much more insidious.
Right, pacer's running too fast.
Exactly.
I've always wondered about this. If I sign up for a 5.3A finish and my pacer gets me there in 5.25, shouldn't I be happy I got a PB? Why is that a failure?
You might be happy at the finish line if you make it there, but physically, it's a trap. The source points to pacer Priti Alpesh Shah on the 5.30 bus. She finished about 4.5 minutes fast.
Okay.
Dr. Nath labels this easy tigress.
Easy tigress. I like that.
Yeah.
But explain the physiology. Why is 4 minutes too fast dangerous?
Because a marathon is an exercise in resource management. Think of your glycogen, your muscle fuel like a bank account. If you're aiming for a 5.3 Yeri time, your body is conditioned to spend that money at a very specific rate. If the pacer drags you along even 10 or 15 seconds per kilometer faster, you're spending fuel you don't have.
You're putting it on a credit card with a really high interest rate.
Precisely. You feel great at kilometer 10, adrenaline's pumping. But because you burn that fuel too early trying to keep up, the bill comes due at kilometer 30. That is when you hit the wall.
So a pacer running fast is essentially leading their followers right off a cliff.
Correct. It creates a survival of the fittest scenario instead of a guided tour. You are burning out the very people you're supposed to be helping.
So what's the sweet spot?
The report defines success very narrowly. A pacer needs to be between 30 seconds and 90 seconds under the target time. That's the Goldilocks zone.
Why not closer? Why not finish just 10 seconds under?
Because the whole net time versus gun time thing.
Oh, right.
It takes time for everyone to cross the start line. If the pacer crosses and you cross 20 seconds later, but the pacer finishes exactly on the dot, well, by the time you cross the finish line, you've technically missed it.
So the pacer has to build in that buffer for the people at the back.
It's a game of high precision.
Mm-hmm.
And the full marathon was bad, but the 10K, that was absolute carnage.
The 10K is the entry point for most people. Was it just as chaotic?
Worse, actually. Out of 10 pacers, 4 failed. A 40% failure rate.
Wow.
And here, the issue is almost entirely speed. The 55-minute and 58-minute buses came in way too fast. In a short race like a 10K, running a minute or two too fast is a huge deviation. You're just sprinting people into the ground.
So it seems like the only place that had any semblance of reliability was the half marathon.
Yeah, the 21K was the saving grace. 9 pacers, 8 successes. The only failure was a minute slow. That's a solid B-plus performance.
But when you zoom out.
Right. When you zoom out, as Dr. Nath does, the aggregate picture is one of systemic unreliability.
Which brings us to the why. This is the Tata Mumbai Marathon. It's prestigious. It's expensive. It's been happening for decades. Why does this basic operational mechanic keep failing?
Well, the report mentions this is not a one-off bad year. He links back to data from 2015-2016. It's a recurring theme.
Right.
And this is where we have to put on that economist hat. The central argument here is about monopoly power.
The lack of competition. But play devil's advocate for me. It's just a race. Why can't someone else just start another marathon next week?
I mean, think about the barriers to entry. To run a marathon in Mumbai, you need to shut down the C-Link.
Mm.
You need to close the major arteries of the financial capital of India. You need permissions from the police, the municipality, massive corporate sponsors.
So you can't just go down the street to the competitor marathon. It literally doesn't exist.
It's a natural monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that Mumbai marathon experience, there is only one seller. And because it's a private event, there's no government regulator checking pacer accuracy.
So the government cares about safety and crowd control. They don't really care if the 4-hour bus shows up at 4.55.
Exactly. So you have a situation where demand is incredibly high. People queue up online for hours just for a slot, but the supplier has zero pressure to improve quality.
We call this inelastic demand, right?
That's it. People are desperate to run. The slots sell out in minutes, regardless of the reviews. So ask yourself, what is the profit motive for the organizer to spend more money or effort perfecting the pacing?
There isn't one. The revenue is secured before the starting gun even fires.
Exactly. Whether the pacers are world class or they finish 2 hours late, the race sells out next year anyway.
That brings us to the analogy in the report that I just found so sticky, the free cafeteria lunch. This just perfectly captures that feeling of helplessness.
It's a brilliant comparison. Imagine you work for a big company. Your employer tells you, great news. As a PUC, we have a free cafeteria for lunch.
Sounds great on paper. That's a recruitment tool.
But then you go there. The food is cold. It's bland. Sometimes they run out before you even get there.
Okay, that perk loses its shine pretty quickly.
Now, here's the dynamic. The new employees, the outsiders, they see the brochure. They get excited. Free lunch. I don't need to pack anything. They showed up, trusting the system, and they go hungry.
But the old timers.
The insiders. The employees who have been there for 10 years. They know the deal. They bring their own tiffin. They don't even look at the cafeteria. They have completely opted out.
So in this analogy, the experienced runners are the employees bringing their own lunch.
Exactly. If you talk to a veteran of this marathon, someone who's run it 5 or 6 times, they will almost universally tell you, ignore the pacer.
Wow.
They bring their own GPS watch. They run their own splits. They treat the pacer as background noise because they've internalized the cost of the monopoly's failure.
That is such a cynical cycle. The organizer gets to advertise the free lunch to attract new customers, while the veteran customers just quietly bypass the service entirely.
And it allows the mediocre service to persist forever because the people who know better stop complaining. They just opt out.
And the beginners who actually need the help, they're the collateral damage. They trust the marketing and they get burned.
And the report suggests this isn't just, you know, laziness. It's a fundamental misallocation of resources.
Ah.
Dr. Nath dives into a supply and demand mismatch in the 10K that proves this.
Okay.
Yes. This is where the business logic just falls apart. He plots the distribution of runners' finish times against where the pacers were placed.
Right.
Now think about a 10K. It's a fun run for many. The vast majority of customers finish in the slower time brackets. That's the fat tail of the bell curve.
That's where the crowd is. That's where the paying customers are.
But where were the pacers? There was an oversupply of pacers for the really fast times, times that only a tiny percentage of elite amateurs can even hit.
And an undersupply for the slower times.
A massive undersupply for the slower times where thousands of people were struggling.
That makes no sense. It's like a grocery store opening 10 checkout lanes for the one person buying a pack of gum and leaving one lane for 500 people with full carts.
It's a classic business failure. Failing to serve your actual market. The source asks explicitly, why would you place so many pacers here? Pointing to the fast times.
I have a theory. It's about image, isn't it?
It has to be. Fast pacers look professional. They look athletic for the cameras. They signal this is a serious race.
Right. While slower pacers, who might be walking and running, they don't look as prestigious, even though that's where the actual help is needed.
You're optimizing for the photo op, not the user experience. It fits perfectly with the monopoly theory. You signal quality to the outside world. Look how fast our race is. Without actually delivering utility to the mass market paying the bills.
Okay, so we've hammered the organizers pretty hard here, and the data supports it. Ouch, ouch indeed. But the report wasn't all doom and gloom.
No, it wasn't.
We need to talk about the shift and who is actually holding these flags.
Yes, and this is where the story pivots to something really empowering. For the first time mentioned in these annual reports, the gender balance of the pacers has flipped.
Flipped how?
In 2026, there were more female pacers than male pacers. 18 females versus 13 males.
That's a significant move. Is that a record?
It appears so. I mean, if you look back just 2 years to 2024, the ratio was 28 males to 17 females. So we've seen a complete reversal. Women are literally taking the lead on the course.
That's incredible. And does this reflect a change in the runners, too? Are we seeing more women showing up to run?
The data suggests it's demand-driven, particularly in the 10K. Mm. In 2025, female participation in the 10K was 29%. This year, it jumped to 41%.
That is a massive jump in a single year. 12% growth in a mature event like this, that's unheard of.
It suggests a tipping point. I mean, overall, the event is still male-dominated, about 80% men to 20% women across all races.
Right.
But that surge in the 10K suggests a new wave of runners entering the sport. And seeing women in positions of authority as pacers, that creates a virtuous cycle. You can't be what you can't see.
The source also had a message for the men in the audience, a specific call to the Desi dude.
Yes. Dr. Nath writes, the Desi dude should continue to encourage and support the females around him to follow their passions. And he links this directly to public health.
How so?
Well, historically, in many households, women's leisure time or fitness time is the first thing that gets sacrificed for family duties. The report argues that the more women participate in recreational sports, the healthier the society is overall.
It's a marker of social health, not just physical health.
Exactly. It's not just about running. It's about creating space for that autonomy.
And frankly, looking at the pacing stats we just discussed.
Well, maybe the men should be taking some notes from the women on how to run a steady race.
The data is the data. The women pacers generally seem to hold it together better than the men this year.
It's an interesting correlation. We don't have enough data points to call it a scientific fact, but the shift in leadership is just. It's undeniable and positive.
So let's try to pull this all together. We have a race day that was statistically a bit of a mess. We have a monopoly that's acting like a bad cafeteria, serving a lunch that nobody can really trust.
But we also have a community that is evolving. More women, more leadership diversity, and a massive influx of new runners.
So what's the so what here? If I'm listening to this and I'm not a marathon runner, why should I care about pacer failure rates or split times?
I think it comes back to that core lesson the source emphasizes. There is no free lunch.
Right.
We live in a world full of systems and institutions and experts, whether it's a financial advisor, a health system, or a pacer in a marathon. We are conditioned to assume that because they have the flag or the title or the glossy brochure, that they know the way.
We just outsource our navigation to them. We think they're the professionals, I'll just follow.
But the data shows that blind trust is a high-risk strategy.
Mm.
The insiders, the experienced ones, know that ultimately you are responsible for your own race. You can't outsource your pacing completely. You have to check your own watch. You have to know your own body.
That's a lesson for life, isn't it? If the system fails, like the pacer running 2 hours late, you need to be able to navigate the mountain yourself.
It's about agency. The monopoly might not improve because it doesn't have to. The cafeteria might never serve good food. So you have to improve. You have to be better than the system you're participating in.
Be better than the system. That's a powerful takeaway.
And on a lighter note, if you are a Desi dude, support the women in your life who are lacing up their shoes. The trends show they're the future of this sport.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a fascinating look at what happens after the confetti is all swept away. We went from split times to economic theory to gender empowerment.
That is the beauty of deep dive. Everything is connected.
It sure is. So here's a final thought for you to chew on. We talked about the bad free lunch, that service you rely on that consistently fails you simply because it's the only option in town.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your internet provider. Maybe it's some software at work. Or maybe it's just a routine you're stuck in.
The monopoly in your own life.
Exactly. Where are you accepting a bad free lunch just because you think you have no choice? And what would it look like if tomorrow you decided to stop complaining about the cafeteria and just packed your own lunch?
Take control of the result.
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you next time.
Keep running your own race.